Welcome to the Let Good Things In show. I'm your host, Amanda Acker. I am so happy you are here. At the Let Good Things In show, we talk all about second chances, resiliency, following your intuition, and even music. Listen to hear stories of hope and to be inspired. Remember, you are stronger than you think. Let's dive in. Hi, my amazing humans. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I just wanted to let you know before you listen that this episode was the very first interview I had done, so I was extremely nervous and messed up my own tagline by saying awesome humans instead of amazing humans. So also, the sound quality is not as good as you're hearing me now, so please bear with me, but I felt that the message was too good not to release and share with all of you. And also, my guest on this episode, his full name, because I failed to say his last name, is Jacob Lethbridge. So here's the episode. Hello, my awesome humans. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm so excited to be bringing my guest today. His name is Jacob, and he is a motivational speaker, a fitness coach, and author who is passionate about helping others turn negative experiences into positive outcomes and shape their mind and body. Jacob is the author of Make Today Matter, a guide to living life to the fullest, and the creator of 4 online courses. Since the death of his son, Scott, Jacob has dedicated himself to helping people who feel like they are going through rough times. He believes that if he can help others change their life, together we can change the world for the better. That's amazing, Jacob. I'm so happy to have you here. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yes. So could you just give us like a brief overview of your story and just how you were able to overcome the things that happened to you in your past to get you to where you are today?
Yeah. And that's a really great way to start, because everything that kind of happened and was pivotal and changing in my life happened back in 2016 when my son Scott passed away, like he said in the intro. And it was really that point in my life where I had the opportunity to say, I can go down 2 paths. I can go down the one path where I can go down to despair and depression and sadness and just almost like a victimhood mentality, or I can turn this experience into something positive so I can help other people. And I obviously chose the higher path, the path of helping others. And that really kind of projected me into that space of really niching down and helping people turn those negative experiences that happen in their life into something positive. Because I truly believe that whenever anything bad happens in your life, you have that choice to either turn it around or let it consume you. And if I can help you take those experiences and turn them into positive outcomes, then I can help you, and which will eventually help someone else, which will help someone else. Together, we can change the world for the better. And that's really where my story all began.
That's amazing. And it's just so amazing that you chose, I'm so grateful, I should say, that you chose the higher path and chose to take that tragedy that happened to you and turn it around and therefore help other people see, you know, that you can experience horrible things in life, but that doesn't mean your life is over and you can still have those amazing things in your life, whether that's a business or, you know, you just want to meet the love of your life, or you want to have that house with a picket fence, right? The American dream, so to speak. That I'm just so grateful that you chose that, because I got to meet you and have you on the show. So another question I would like to ask you is, why is gratitude important?
Yeah, that's a really, really great question. And I know a lot of people talk about gratitude and its importance and that kind of stuff, but I feel that when you're in a situation where things are not going your way, you know, it could be anything. It doesn't have to be the death of a loved one. It can be literally anything. Like maybe you just got up out of bed on the wrong side and you're having a really terrible day today. You know, finding a way to have that gratitude for something is going to make a world of difference, because in gratitude, you find more connectivity to your source. And I know that sounds kind of wonky and out there, but for me, when I started really discovering and practicing gratitude, you know, there's a reason they call it a gratitude practice, because it's something you have to do time over time again. It's something that you do every single day. And for me, when I was in that moment, when my son was like passed away, and that whole experience, I was trying to find different things that I could be grateful for in that moment. And instead of letting that experience tear me down, I took that as an opportunity to say, okay, what can I be grateful for right now? And through that process of gratitude, I was able to, you know, kind of see the light, so to speak, right, and to see the end of the tunnel, that just because this terrible experience is happening right now doesn't mean it's going to continue to happen for the rest of my life. It's only temporary. Like, pain is temporary. And whatever you can do to kind of get through that, for me, it was gratitude and asking empowering questions. It really helped get me through it and get me to that next level of understanding more of who I am and how I can help other people. So a question that people ask me fairly often is, how do I start to create this gratitude practice? And what does it look like for me? Which is a great question, because gratitude is different for everyone. And for me, when I first started, I kind of did it kind of really high level. I was just like, oh, you know, I'm grateful for my bed. I'm grateful for the sunshine today. I'm grateful for the trees out there, you know, which is fine if you truly feel that gratitude. But for me, it was almost like fake gratitude. You know, I was saying these things, I was listing them over and over again, but I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't emotionally connected to it. So what I tell people is, in order to practice gratitude, you have to get into a state of emotional gratitude. And what I mean by that is tying one simple word into your gratitude state. So that word is the word because. So if you say, I am grateful for my laptop, okay, that's just a blank statement, right? But if you say, I'm grateful for my laptop because, you start to tie an emotion and a reason behind why you're grateful for that thing. So for example, we'll use the laptop again. I'm grateful for my laptop because it's allowing me to have this interview, to reach more people, and to impact somebody's life who needs it today. Do you see how that is just adding one simple word creates a whole new dynamic around that gratitude?
Yeah.
That's where the magic happens. So if you can tie gratitude into strong meaning and emotion, you're going to get more out of it, and you're going to ultimately have more to be grateful for.
Yeah, that's so powerful. I'm with you on that. You know, whenever you brought up, you know, adding that because to the things that you're grateful for, my mind was like, that's a great way of looking at it, you know, because yeah, you're right. Like we say, like you hear all the time, oh, you have to be grateful for, you know, everything you have, like look at what you have. But if you're not emotionally attached to that gratitude, I mean, essentially it means nothing. So if you sit there and go, yes, I am grateful for the trees outside because they give me the air I need to breathe every day to be here and to show up and be able to help people and be here for my family. You know, that makes it, they're like, oh, there is a meaning behind that gratitude. And I truly feel that now, you know, that's amazing. I really enjoyed hearing that. So let's talk about negative experiences and how we can turn those into, you know, have those positive outcomes. So how would you say that you yourself turn your negative experiences into positive outcomes?
Yeah, great question. The whole process for me is always about asking empowering questions. I'm a big person in asking questions of everything. It's like a natural curiosity that I have, mm-hmm. and just to ask different questions. And I remember maybe about a year or so before Scott passed away, I listened to this program by Michael Beckwith. And I think it was called The Answer Is You. And okay. In that, he talked about asking empowering questions. So when something bad happens, you ask yourself more empowering type questions instead of disempowering. So what's the difference? So the difference is, and I'm sure many of you listening and or watching this have probably asked yourself these disempowering questions, because I know for myself, I'm guilty of it. When something bad happens, you ask yourself, why did this happen to me? Yeah. What did I do to deserve this?
Yes.
If you're spiritual or you're faithful or whatever, you know, God you believe in, why is God punishing me? You know, I feel like I'm such a good person. Why did this have to happen to me? You know, those are disempowering because they push you in a victim mentality. And Michael said, instead, ask yourself the empowering questions when something bad happens. So questions like, what good is here that I cannot see? What can I give? And what can I celebrate? So those were really the questions that stuck with me and came to me almost instantaneously after Scott's passing. And, you know, it's kind of silly to kind of think back and go, okay, you know, you're holding your son who just passed away and you're asking, what can I celebrate?
You know? Yeah, and, right.
But it's the whole shift in mindset that makes a difference. And when you're turning a negative experience into a positive outcome, you're taking away the negative kind of mindset there. You're taking away the disempowering questions that kind of bring you down to that negative vibration and turning those around by asking the more empowering questions. So I'll take you through my thought process when everything was going on. So the first question, what good is here that I cannot see? This question prompts you to start looking for the good, right? And when you look for the good, you naturally attract. That's just how our minds work. Like whatever you focus on, you attract into your life. So right. If you focus on what good is here, okay, I'm in that situation. I'm in the hospital room. I'm sitting beside my wife. She's crying. My son has passed away maybe 2 feet away from me. What good is here that I cannot see? Okay. Separate myself for a minute and disassociate myself from the situation. My wife is still alive. That's a positive. I have free healthcare because I live in Canada.
Lucky you.
Right? You know, we're in probably one of the top child emergency hospitals in Ontario.
Wow.
Okay. That's a positive. We have specialists coming in. These are all good things that I couldn't see at the time, but when I disassociated myself and asked that question and took myself objectively away from that situation for that momentary time, I started to see the good things that were all around me. Number two, what can I give? Now you're thinking, oh my goodness, like what? Like you're in no position to give anything right now. So what do you do? Okay, what can I give? I don't have anything. At that time, I was broke. I had no money. It's not like I could give money to the hospital. So what could I give? I could give myself. And that's exactly what I did. I was there to support my wife. I was there to be strong. I was there to, you know, get whatever she needed. If she said, I need a cup of ice, it was in her hand before she could even finish the sentence. Right? I was down the hall and back. And I'm sure any of you who have had kids, if you're a woman listening to this, you're like, give me those ice chips, man. Like,
yes, I can relate. Yes, please. Like right now, not in a minute, right now.
Yeah, like I don't even want to hear a word coming out of your mouth. Give me those ice chips.
Yes.
So I was doing that, like whatever it took, that's what I could give in that moment. And I could give her support and love and strength and whatever else she needed at that time. And after that, you know, once you start focusing on what you can give, you put yourself in that vibration, saying like, okay, I already have enough as I am. How can I help someone else? And when you start putting yourself in those kinds of situations and asking yourself those kinds of questions, you change your whole mindset. You change the way you look at things. And that's important when you're trying to turn a negative experience into a positive outcome. And number three, what can I celebrate? Now, this is the big one that people are always like, how can you even think about celebrating when you are holding your child who has just passed away in your arms? Like, it's not like the body's still warm, right? And I'm thinking, well, what can I celebrate here? Because what's done is done. Like, there's nothing I can do to bring it back at this point, right? I've gone through, I've kind of accepted it. And while it sucks, like, I'm not saying it wasn't a hard experience. It was terrible. It was the worst thing that ever happened in my life. But through my training in mindset, I found that through asking myself these types of empowering questions and asking myself, what can I celebrate right now? I put myself in a position of looking back. Now, to put things in perspective, this happened in February of 2016. In December of 2015, so just 2 months before, my wife and I just got married.
Wow.
We just finished having our honeymoon. And we were, you know, back in Canada, and it was cold, right? It was freezing cold. Yeah. And it was cold.
Yeah.
and during that time, I started just kind of looking back at the experiences that we had when Scott was still in her stomach, right? Like, so these are different things I can celebrate, right? Like, he was there, you know, in her stomach when we got married. So I always said he was my best man. And when, you know, we did so many things that we never would have done prior to Scott even being born. Like, we went and saw Phantom of the Opera in Toronto. We had like the best seats in the house. Like, I don't even know what the seats are called because we were fancy going to any kind of like opera thing.
Right.
I'm not that kind of fancy. Yeah. Like, we were on like the second balcony in the center. So we had like no one in front of us. It was just like looking down. We're like, hey, he got to experience that because she could feel him kicking during that kind of experience. Right.
Right.
And, you know, he technically came on the honeymoon with us. And how many of you parents out there bring your kids on your honeymoon? Like, get out of here, right?
Yeah.
So these are just like little things that I was kind of humoring myself with. Even though he was in her stomach, it was little things that I could kind of celebrate. Because my wife and I would never have gone to the opera if, you know, he wasn't, you know, in her stomach. Because we're like, we're going to have one last hurrah. We're going to do a whole bunch of fun stuff before the baby comes. And that's kind of what we were doing. So these were all little things to celebrate. So bringing it all back, when you ask yourself empowering questions when things are going wrong, when something negative happens in your life, and it doesn't have to be something monumentally big. It could even be like your car won't start, or it could
be the worst.
Yeah, or someone cuts you off in traffic and now it's made you 5 seconds later to wherever you were going to go. Just take a step back, disassociate yourself from that, and ask yourself those empowering questions. Stop asking yourself questions that disempower you. Not the whole world is not out to get you. The world is here for you, and life is for you. And, you know, if you believe in God, God is for you. Whatever you do, life is for you, and it is here to help you experience it to the fullest. I always say, whenever I'm having a bad day, it's not a bad day. It's a character building day.
Oh. And so
I think it was Les Brown that said that originally. You know, you don't have bad days, you have character building days. And, you know, if you fall down, try and land on your back because you can look up, you can get up. And those are the kind of statements that have always stayed with me. So I pride myself on my power to be able to do that. And believe me, it takes a lot of strength to be able to do that when your whole world seems like it's shattering around you. And you're just kind of wondering, how can I turn this around? Just know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and know that pain is only temporary.
That's so powerful. I, you know, through my experiences in my life, like, I had to learn those things too, you know, because I held on to my past for pretty much my entire adult life. And I held on to it and felt shame and felt like, you know, why is this happening to me? Like, why, you know, like, why was I there? I shouldn't have been there. Like, why, you know, you ask yourself, I ask myself the negative questions, right? Like, I played victim for so long. And it wasn't until I started to see, like, well, if I wouldn't have been to jail, I wouldn't be here to tell my story to help other people who've gone through a similar experience. I wouldn't be, if I wouldn't have given my two daughters up for adoption, I wouldn't have that experience to help others and be able to, you know, tell, you know, how to overcome these very emotionally challenging things that happen in so many people's lives. And so many of us hide in that fear and shame of what we've been through. And that is what you just described. Like, I want everyone listening here to really take that in. And next time something bad happens to you, and like Jacob said, it doesn't have to be something horrible, horrible, or like life shattering. It can be someone cutting you off in traffic, or you go to the hair salon and she cuts your hair an inch too short, you know, but ask yourself those questions. Like, don't, because you're not a victim. Like you said, like, life is for you. Like, nothing is against you. Like, it's not like that guy today, I had something happen where a guy gave me a weird look because I was waving him on in traffic, but I didn't see a car coming in the opposite direction. And I was like, why did he look at me like that? But in all actuality, like, that doesn't matter. And, you know, I was being, it was out of the kindness of my heart, trying to let him go and think of the positive side of the negative experiences when you feel that way. So, yeah, I really, yeah, really totally like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I have one last question for you. I'm going to ask you, what process do you use to achieve your goals?
That's a really great question. And it's a really good segue into kind of the whole reason I went into personal development as well, because with everything that happened, I'm a very outcome-oriented person. Like, what can I do to achieve something? Like, if something's not working, I'm trying to find a way to achieve it so it does work.
Right.
I don't give up. As you can probably tell, I don't give up. Right. I now have a three-and-a-half-year-old daughter who's running around, happy, healthy. So there is a good side to the story. So kind of, I'm going to take you back a little bit before we get into goal setting. And when we were in the process, you know, kind of post-mortem after Scott passed away and everything, we went and saw fertility specialists, and we went and saw a whole bunch of people who all told us that we should give up and that we should not have kids because we can't physically have children. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, that's just someone's opinion. Right.
Right.
I don't let other people's opinions of me dictate how I'm going to live my life. And neither should you. And no, you know, nobody should. I mean, yes, like, these people are specialists in their field, but at the same time, this fertility clinic was a business. Right. So they're going to say what they can do, whatever they can do to say, if you use our $25,000 plus treatment, you can have a baby. I was like, well, I got the equipment to do it myself. What do I need to pay you $25,000 for?
Right.
You know? You're basically doing the same thing, are you not? Just mixing it in a petri dish. So so my wife and I, we had the talk, we made a decision that we're not going to listen to what this one person's opinion is, and we're just going to keep trying. And persistence is key, because after Scott's passing, we had 8 miscarriages.
Oh, like, wow.
Over the course of a year and a half. So that was, you know, if you think, like, just losing one son is bad, after that, we lost another 8 potential children. I mean, wow. I couldn't even imagine having 8 kids. That would just be madness. Like, props to anyone who has more than 2.
But I'm with you there, for sure.
More than 1 is, you know, like, congratulations. But, you know, we said, come hell or high water, we are going to have a child because we are meant to have at least 1. And we kept trying and we kept going and we used positive affirmations and we remained positive. Instead of looking at the downside of things, we always looked at the positive. So how does this relate to goal setting? It's the same type of framework. I look at goals as an outcome to be achieved. So basically, if you have a goal, like, let's say I'm going to use weight, because it's really easy and really everyone can understand it.
Yes.
And I'm sure at some point someone listening has said, man, I really wish I could lose 30 pounds
or 20 pounds. I'm that person.
Or 10 pounds or whatever it is. Okay. When we're looking at setting a goal for weight loss, what are you looking at? You're looking at the outcome you want to achieve, right? You want to weigh, let's say you want to weigh 160 pounds. Okay. Right now you weigh 200 because that was the experience that I had. I was 200 pounds. I was like, I want to weigh 160.
Wow.
Okay. Now that you have an outcome, you have a goal, what can you do to achieve that? What's it going to take? And now this is where your willpower and determination and your reasoning comes in. Because here's the thing, a goal without a reason is just a dream.
Right.
If you don't have a reason behind why you're doing what you're doing, you're not going to have any motivation to go after it. And I've had so many ideas. I'm like, yes, I'm definitely going to do this, but I'll get to it later. Or I definitely want to lose an extra 5 pounds, but man, that cake and ice cream is looking really tasty right now. Or man, I could go for a pizza right now. I think I'll just devour an entire pizza myself. And that's not going to get you to that goal.
So yes.
Here's my process. I define the outcome. What do I want? Okay. I want to weigh 160 pounds. Okay. Next, I take a piece of paper. Yes, I'm still old school. I take a piece of paper and a pen, and I write down everything that I would potentially need to do or could do to achieve that goal. So maybe it's cutting out sugar. Maybe it's definitely being in a calorie deficit. So not eating as much as before. Right. It's looking at what I'm eating and changing that to a more whole foods type of diet. It's changing it to say, okay, I'm going to get out and maybe run for 10 minutes instead of just walk for 10 minutes. Or I'm going to start lifting weight. And you can come up with an entire list of anything. It doesn't even matter how stupid or silly you might think it is. Put it on the list. Because I remember putting things like, oh, I could do like jumping jacks while I'm waiting for my car to heat up.
Yeah. Hey, that's smart.
You know, just like putting like stupid little things. Like, oh, okay, if I'm in the shower and I'm just kind of enjoying the warm water on me, maybe I'll just do some squats in here. If I'm sweating, great, get rinse off anyway. You know, these are all stupid little things that I was writing down, but things that I implement because every rep counts. And believe it or not, the majority of weight loss is actually done in the kitchen and not during the exercise. And it's probably more connected to what you're eating and your stress levels than the actual exercise that you do. Because when I went through this process of losing 40 pounds in 1 year,
wow,
I looked at what I was eating, what I was doing, and how I was going to achieve that goal that I wanted. And once I realized that my job was causing tremendous stress, I just quit.
I was like, good for you.
I didn't have a plan. Like, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I'm a very impulsive person. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to quit. Like, it's not worth my mental health and my stress levels to be at this position that is causing me so much stress day in and day out that I'm going to be like one of those people who has a heart attack. And right. I was like, I'm not going to do it. So I quit. And I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a backup plan, but I was like, okay, I'm just going to take control of my health and then everything else will flow, right? Like, I believe the universe is good and will take care of me. So if I take an action, it will have to create something else. And once I started taking control and inventory of what I was eating, like I was eating McDonald's like 4 times a week.
Okay? Oh, McDonald's and those fries, they get me every time. Yeah.
Right? And they're McFlurries. Like, they're so good.
Oh, so good.
They're so good. Like, I would go out and order some kind of takeout at the mall, like some kind of Chinese thing, eat that entire plate, then be like, man, I'm still feeling a little bit hungry. Or even if I wasn't hungry, I'd be like, man, I could really go for an ice cream cone. Or I could go for a McFlurry before I had that. So I would go and get it. So it was like two things of takeout, like back to back, like probably like 3,000 calories in one meal. Yeah. Right? And that was just for lunch. Like, that's not even going to eat breakfast and breaks, dinner, and all that kind of stuff. So I was doing like 5,000 calorie days. And I was like, this is not going to get me 160 pounds. So what am I going to do? I've cut them out. Simple as that. I just cut it. I don't drink pop anymore. Or still, I guess you guys call it soda in the States. I don't drink.
I call it pop in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So?
Okay. Well, soda, I don't drink soda pop anymore, okay? So I don't drink soda pop. I severely cut down my sugar intake. I don't eat white bread anymore. And I look more at what's going to fuel my body instead of what's going to make it feel worse, right? Because you become what you eat. So think about yourself even 30 days from now. If you have an apple and you have a piece of cake, the cake might taste better, but the apple is going to get you slimmer and make you feel better. You ever have that time when you eat a bag of chips and then right after you're like, man, I regret that? Or like if you have a poutine or something, right? Like you have the french fries with the cheese and the gravy.
Yum.
And you're like, man, this tastes so good going in. And then after you're like, man, I regret that.
Yes, yes. We got takeout last night. And yeah, definitely. As soon as I was done eating, I was like, oh, that was so good. And I was like, oh, but you can feel it like in your body, like, no, should not have done all that. Should have stopped at like one piece of fish. So, yeah.
Right. And then you're in that state of like, man, I feel like crap right now. So how do you change that? you start incorporating more whole foods, and believe me, if you start incorporating more whole foods, and even if you just cut off, you are going to feel a dramatic difference. So that's kind of a big kind of overview of how I set goals, and kind of long-winded, but basically have an outcome, define your reason for wanting to do it, and just take action on it. Take action. It's the simplest thing. You know, if you're someone who wants to record YouTube videos, you just got to press record.
Right. It's scary. I mean, I know for me, like, just doing this podcast, this is scary, but I know I want to do it, and it's a goal of mine. So doing it, you know,
yeah,
so
exactly.
And I, you know, what drives me nuts is when I hear people saying like, oh, I wish I could get more clients if they have a business, or, oh, I wish, you know, I could do this or go here or go there, but I'm broke and I can't. It's like, but what are you doing to change that? You know, are you taking the first step? Are you trying to, you know, figure out how you could make more money so that you can go to the beach? Are you, you know, with like losing weight, I want to, but I'm not there yet. And that's okay. And it's okay to, you know, have those goals, but say, okay, like, I'm not quite there yet for this one, but what can I do to get closer to where I want to be in life overall, you know? So yeah. I love that process. So it's kind of like you reverse engineering it, right? So you're,
yeah,
you know, you're taking like, okay, this is my goal, and how do I get to this goal? You know, you're breaking it down step by step, and that's very powerful and it works. I mean, this podcast, yeah, it was like, hey, I want to do a podcast. So what do I need to do? And you just start putting the pieces together and bam, there it is, you know?
Yeah.
So that's really powerful. I love that. So yeah, it's been awesome having you on the Let Good Things In show. We've learned so much from you today. You know, goal setting and how to turn negative experiences into positive outcomes, and about gratitude. And I really enjoyed hearing, you know, your story. And I'm just very excited to be able to share this with everyone and all my listeners. So thank you again, Jacob, for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. This was amazing. This was so much fun. So congratulations for starting and getting really to work on that goal.
Thank you. Thank you. And just to tie things up, guys, I just want to remind you that you are stronger than you think. You're capable of amazing things regardless of your past. And I will talk to you soon.